from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The California Public Utilities Commission has voted unanimously to give the green light to ride-sharing firms like Lyft, Sidecar, and Uber, presuming they comply with basic safety and insurance rules. These companies connect smartphone-bearing riders with drivers who use their own vehicles in return for a fee or donation. The CPUC has dubbed them transportation network companies, and by establishing jurisdiction over them, state regulators are also signaling local fights over regulation are over. The latest census estimates show California's poverty picture running closely in sync with the rest of the nation. 16% of Americans lived below the poverty level in 2012, 17% in California. But in the Inland Empire, the story is a little bit grimmer, 19%. What explains the disparity? It has to do with yet another number, according to Sarah Bone, a research fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California. Nearly 47% of people living in Riverside and San Bernardino counties have only a high school diploma or less.
A lot of job opportunities have sprung up for workers that have at least some education beyond high school, some college, or a four-year degree.
Census data also shows the Inland Empire is still the state's fastest-growing region population-wise. California once grew a lot of sugar beets to supply sugar mills in the state before most of those mills closed. But as Alice Daniel reports from Mendota, west of Fresno, some growers are hoping to bring the sugar beet back to make ethanol.
The story starts here in the town of Mendota, a poor farming community on the valley's west side where jobs are scarce and rarely steady.
Mendota, the majority of work is seasonal, so you have a high rate of unemployment during the winter time, and we've gone through the worst of times.
Mayor Robert Silva finishes a bite of his lunch at a local Mexican restaurant and then explains one of the many hard knocks the town has suffered.
When Spreckles Sugar closed down, they had like 250 employees.
That was in 2008, when the recession hit the town of 11,000 hard and unemployment was at 40%. Growers, who had sold sugar beets to Spreckles for decades, formed a cooperative and unsuccessfully tried to buy the refinery. Their next step was more of a giant leap.
The company came to us that grew the seed for the sugar beets and said, think about making ethanol from the sugar beets.
That's grower John Diener. He says most ethanol in the United States comes from corn, but in Europe, about a dozen former sugar mills have been retrofitted to produce ethanol instead. That hasn't happened in the U.S., but Diener and other co-op members decided to form a company, Mendota Bioenergy, and investigate building their own biorefinery. Today, Diener stands in a building on his ranch that will soon be part of the test site.
Our tagline is we're taking sunshine and making it into moonshine. That's quite honestly what we're doing.
Mendota Bioenergy has a $5 million grant from the California Energy Commission and the partnership of university experts to complete the test site. It should be up and running this winter, and if all goes as planned, the company will then build the nation's first commercial sugar beet biorefinery in Mendota by 2017. The project is also unique because of its focus on sustainability.
You're looking at it, what you consider the energy balance on the farm. The old cliche is that we get everything out of the hog except the squeal.
And everything out of the beet. Byproducts from the ethanol process will be turned into fertilizer and biomethane gas. Some of that will be used to power the trucks hauling beets in from nearby farms. Even prunings from other parts of the farm will be used in the biorefinery.
These are from prunings from the field. Almond trees, walnut trees, that kind of thing. You gasify them. You turn that wood into a gas.
Outside the building, Diener points to a compact machine that will produce electricity and hot water for the test site by burning wood prunings. The carbon char is captured and is used on the farm to enrich the soil. Sustainability is vital on the valley's west side, where farmers like Diener grapple with salty soil and reduced water allocations. Beets do fine in poorer soil, and they're 80% water, which will also be recycled in the plant. Not only will very little fresh water be needed, says project manager Jim Tischer.
It should generate on the order of, 400 acre feet a year of additional water to be used in landscape purposes or for irrigation.
That's about 130 million gallons of water. Because the plant will be green, the sugar beet ethanol will have a much lower carbon index than corn ethanol, says Tischer. Sugar beets also produce more than twice as much ethanol as corn and surpass sugarcane yields. But don't expect sugar beets to take over corn, Tischer says. There's 92 million acres of corn in the U.S. and about 1.5 million acres of sugar beets. Grower Ellen Desjardins is at home in Fresno making dinner after a long day on her farm. She's a member of Mendota Bioenergy and is looking forward to growing beets again.
It was one of the profitable things in our farming operation, and I think that it still will be. Ethanol will be proved to be maybe even more profitable.
The first phase of the commercial refinery expects to use enough local sugar beets to make 10 to 15 million gallons of ethanol a year. And because California is focused on reducing its carbon index, the farmers say they will have no trouble selling their ethanol to state oil refineries and other users of petroleum products. Back in Mendota, Mayor Robert Silva says the city jumped at the chance to host the commercial plant. It will increase the tax base, provide 100 full-time jobs, and many more in agriculture, trucking, and construction, he says. A kind of sweet deal for a town that lost its sugar mill. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in Mendota.
And that's the California Report for Friday, September 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Howard Gelman and Seal Muller. The directors are Paul Lancour, Vinnie Tong, Guy Maserati, and Isabel Angel. Our interns are Jenny Simeone and Nicholas Arce. The editing staff includes Kat Snow, Alex Helmick, Tyke Hendricks, and Julia McAvoy. Our producers are Nina Thorson, Sarah Bond, and Polly Stryker. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment. Health happens in neighborhoods at calendow.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.